My talk is at about the opposite pole from Jim Pellegrino's. I'm not talking about assessment that meets the demands of the outer world, but that is helpful to designers, whether those designers are teachers or researchers or anything else. And it's a very nuts and bolts kind of presentation. I just want to run through a variety of things that we found useful that provide kinds of information that are useful in design. Naturally, designers want to find out whether students are learning what they're supposed to, and so the kinds of assessments that Marshall Lenzen talked about are of course, central. And teachers often want some kinds of external benchmarking just to see, make sure they're not getting into trouble. But these other assessments that I'm talking about are ones that are intended to meet such criteria as they should minimally disrupt the educational process. They shouldn't demand much time of teachers. And if at all possible, they ought to be educationally beneficial in themselves. Can you hear me all right if I stay away from the mic? Okay. The examples I'm going to give all involve the use of knowledge forum, although by and large, they can be done, they can be generalized. But just to give you a little orientation, it's a shared database in which notes are entered into views. The view you see in the background is one that's created by the teacher, but students may contribute them. And you can have views within views and subviews and so on. Students can move their things around to organize them in different ways, and there are scaffolds. And all of these things are editable. Which are used kind of ad lib. They don't force anyone through a particular routine. First, the kinds of data that can be collected with any sort of computer-based system. You can collect a lot of process data, and what we have done this to make it possible for teachers to call for reports on various things. We found that what they like, however, is a kind of pre-potted report. That is, although there's an interface that allows you to just tick off things that they'd like to get reports on, basically they'd like us to deliver a report, and they like it to be on every pupil, not this kind of thing. Which is useful to us in research. For instance, besides looking at time trends, it's of some value sometimes to look at correlations. In one study, we found that the best predictor of performance on a end of course test was the amount of reading of other kids' notes that they done. The part of reading that's uncorrelated with writing correlated 0.51 with English F scores. The part of writing that's correlated with uncorrelated with reading correlated minus 0.81 and of course test, so that reading seems to be the decisive thing there. In any environment like this, or anyone where the kids are being active, you get a lot of material that can be evaluated, and teachers are often overwhelmed by it. They can't read everything, they can't evaluate everything that they need to do. One thing that turns out to be useful is to look at only one certain kind of student product, in this case, questions. The questions that the students answered, these were used in a 12-grade class in Hong Kong. Um, So the questions each student produced were pooled and graded according to this kind of level. The physical geography class, here's an example of of a question that got a level 4 rating. That is a question that's really a kind of hypothesis question. And those questions, just that rating on questions, again, correlated about 0.53 with the A-level exam in that area, so that information could be picked up relatively easily from the process without intruding on the kids or giving a special test at all. Had some validity and was helpful to the teachers in knowing how things were developing. Here's a curious notion of a way you can assess some things. This involves the student's comments on each other's contribution. And instead of having them rated according to quality or intellectual level and so on, we had a room full of educational researchers, take the unlabeled comments from the student and to judge where these came from, who produced them. They had a choice of saying, was it peer, a high school student, a university student, the teacher, or some science museum curator. And those were their guesses on the part of these educators. The fact was that all of the comments were produced by the reading process students. So here you're getting a kind of reading on a level of sophistication without the need to design a scoring system. You're using the experts in a way that they didn't intend to be used. The intervention of experts in the process is itself quite useful. Kevin O'Neill looked at that and Gardinelli have experimented with bringing expert telemetrists into the database so that there are more participants, experts, than outsiders. Here's an example from a teacher, a combined graduate class and teacher involvement class, where the teachers and graduate students were interacting on the question of how do we teach twice. And you get the usual kinds of discussions about what demonstrations can you use as experiments to communicate Bernoulli's principles. The instructor, playing the role of expert in this case, introduced a note received from the internet that said most people get this wrong, including most textbooks. They think Bernoulli's principle is the whole explanation. And in fact, that isn't it. Newton's third law gets into the Act too. So when that was introduced with this note up here, you can see it provoked a whole flurry of discussion that now is concerned not with how do we teach twice, but what keeps playing up after all. Once the realization that they didn't understand it came in. And at that point, a physics graduate student who was had studied aeronautics was brought in to the database not to comment directly on what the learners were doing, but to organize, to produce a view that reflected an expert way of conceptualizing the space. What she did you see, basically to split the space up into the work on the Bernoulli and Calanda effect and Newton's laws, and some more general things on understanding forces, And this can reframe the whole situation so that a view of it could be constructed on each of those and they can develop that. So the point there is that it isn't always just the content of individual contributions that needs assessment. It's how they're all working together. I mean, how are people conceptualizing the space that they're working in? That expert also contributed a subview. This will give you an idea of how it goes down from here. This is one piece of that view that deals with Newton's third law and how it applies. And this then starts to provoke, create a whole discussion along something that would never have been there before. Now, portfolios are a pretty standard part of any kind of student work in this sort of environment because they're so easy to create. But what do you do with portfolios? Again, Shannon Lee, whose name's appeared already, set up a rather systematic way students could produce portfolios. And they had an interesting concept that it should be a dual portfolio, one part of which represented the individual student's work, and the other part of which represented that student's interpretation of what the whole class was taught. So they're looking at it at two levels. These four scaffolding items were used to guide the creation of the portfolio. That is, they were to collect notes and show how they applied them, how they fitted one of these criteria: cutting edge productive questions, progressive problem solving. That is, where the solution of one problem generates a new problem. Collaborative efforts or a high point, that is kind of aha experience. So you get then a draft portfolio of one student that shows a connection with notes. Here's a look into one of the notes in which the student is justifying cutting edge productive questions. It goes on to show how the blue things are key words that appear in other people's notes at all, so they're searchable. Thus it's creating new notes that justify the inclusion of things in the portfolio. And finally, what appears and is available for the teacher's inspection is a whole a view that contains all of the student portfolios and the domains of inquiry that they looked at. It turns out that the grading of these portfolios, together with the explanatory questions that I pointed out to you before, provide pretty good predictors of the A-level examination in the course. I haven't worked out the multiple R, but I think the correlation is suggest it would be reasonably high. Finally, I want to go into some work that's just under development, and so that isn't here ready to apply, but use of latent semantic analysis as applied to the things that are generated in the course of the student's learning. Chris Teplog is the person working with us, who's actually been trained in LSA, knows the math, etc., has started to do some studies with us. One was asked the question, are the students covering the curriculum? Are they actually reading the reasons? This was applied in the graduate course. The criterion is that the two instructors independent ratings of how well each student has understood the material that was to be read. LSA is does the semantics project these things into a three-dimensional space. You can then create a single-dimensional unfolding of it. Getting a ranking then of how close each student's notes are to this corpus of text. The rank order correlation between the instructors and the LSA estimate, closeness, we're all above 0.9, I know. That is, the LSA did agreed with the instructors as well as they agreed with each other in estimating whether or not students have grasped the material. The one other thing you can look at is what are the students covering. This is a little more complicated, but the end result here was to collect grade 4 through grade 10 material, find out where's the class situated. But it turns out the grade 6s are closest to grade 3. So there we are. These are just a few nuts and bolts to test the possibility of doing useful data gathering right in the course of and enriching instruction. Thank you.